You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 27 of Bras, Bitches and Balls. It's April, well it's April something, and yet we still have snow and rain. Well, rain is an April thing, but normally it's warm. Anyway, so I'm Nick, and today we have Melanie from Earthenwood Studios, who will be talking to us about her spooky, spooky art. And I'm sure Lisa has questions and things scribbled on an envelope.
As always.
As always. And here's Lee.
Hi.
Lee's looking at my boobs.
I'm looking at your necklace.
And not as a professional.
No. All right.
It's pink.
And it's magnetic.
It reminds me of a certain cake.
It does remind me of a certain cake. I love it.
Great. So I'm wearing a vagina on my neck.
Kind of.
Let's call it a yoni.
Yes.
Then I sound awesome.
It's one of my favorite terms.
It's my yoni necklace.
There you go.
First time I've worn it in public, I guess. Maybe I should rethink that.
No, don't.
No,
let your yoni flag fly.
Yoni power.
Exactly.
I just was wearing all black today, and so I was like, oh, look, I've never worn this necklace my mom gave me.
We need a big crystal expression of womanhood.
So why not just throw a pink labia on? We're good to go.
Hey, again, I do not disapprove of any of that, so that's great. That's
okay,
lovely.
Okay, we're going to talk about the bra that's in front of you right now. It's blocking. Oh, wait, you can see me.
Yeah. It's just boob blocking.
This bra came into Busted yesterday.
You just walked right in?
Just walked right in and
strolled
said,
in.
Hey, I've got a bunch of my friends, and you're going to sell us.
Put me on a rack.
So this is Kim by Alomi, and you notice she's, or I noticed, maybe you haven't noticed, she's got a nice deep plunge to her, and that is some stretch lace up in the top. Let me do the manipulating, because
manipulate.
Nick doing it, it's going to be weird.
Okay.
I'm quite good at displaying bras.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, you tell us about it.
Stretch lace. And if you look at the lace, which you probably can't see, Facebook Live and podcast can't see at all, it's got some geometric print instead of being floral and lacy up in the top. They take care of the floral and lacy print stuff in the actual material on the bra. Also up on the straps, it's a beautiful red hibiscus flower.
Maybe.
Probably. And then with the matching panties that are nice and stretchy and comfortable. But Alomi is great for larger cups. But this plunge does a really great job for your cleavage. This frame, we sell a lot of this frame in the store. And it's been very popular, very successful, super comfortable, gorgeous. Come and get your springtime delight. Even if it's underneath your clothes in the wintertime, you know, you have the hibiscus flower on it.
Okay, so I have questions, as Nick pointed out, I always do. On the top of the bra strap at the shoulder, there's some of the fabric sewn on.
Uh-huh.
So there's a little bit of the floral design up at the shoulder, too. So, which is kind of cool, because if, you know, your shirt slides a little, you get a fun little pop of flower print rather than just the straight up bra strap.
Yeah.
On the sides, I think most bras, especially for larger cups, do this, but this seems a little more reinforced on the sides than some of the other bras. Like is there an extra panel in there?
You mean this panel here?
No, right behind the wire.
There's just, it's sewn in. So there's not a stay back there, which sometimes can be very painful. But so here's the wire right there, Lisa.
Yep.
And then the panel stops, and then the band starts there. So some places do try to keep a continuous piece, but this is a separate piece. That's going to really give it something else to pull upon. So So physically, it's made for really much, it's got a lot of good support.
Oh, I never saw the front of it. That's gorgeous.
The geometric thing is nice.
I like the geometric embroidery.
Isn't that pretty?
Look at me.
It also slightly reminds me of Space Invaders. So that's kind of cute, too.
It's cute. Yeah.
I like it.
There we go.
All right.
Awesome. Very nice.
So, and the name of that again, it's an Alomi bra. What's the name?
Kim.
All right.
Kim. So if you're interested, go ask for Kim.
Hi, my name is
Kim the bra, not Kim the employee.
We don't have a Kim employee.
So thankfully, no confusion.
That could be very confusing if you had a Kim.
Right. No Kims.
I don't remember which. That's the. What's the one that starts with an A? The brand.
Azure?
Yes.
You're in an Azure. Yeah, you're in a Ukrainian bra with a nice stretch lace in the top, but the cups aren't quite as – they're a little bit thicker. Yeah.
It's very comfortable. I wasn't trying to show everybody my cleavage or anything, but it's a very comfortable bra. Yep. And
I'm in Blue Bella.
It's amazing when you wear a comfortable bra versus one that doesn't provide support.
Mm-hmm.
How much better you look. You look like you might have worked out, even though you haven't. Because things are where they're supposed to be. And also, it's just they carry a lot of the weight, whereas a bra that you don't.
It helps your back. Yeah. It really does help your back. When changing the pressure from here on your shoulders to on your back is a brilliant thing. The bras have to be tight enough to do that. And so a lot of times when customers come into the dressing room, they're not ready to make a big jump from a bra that doesn't fit to one that actually does grip onto their back some. So after we do baby steps. We're going to do whatever's comfortable for you, but yeah.
It reminds me of I met this couple Sunday afternoon for a chat, and we started talking about they've built their own kayaks. The frames, wood carve. I know they're amazing people, but and then you skin them. So we were talking about kayaking. I'm like, I like kayaking, but I get tired after like 5 minutes. My arms are sore, and they're like, you're using your arms too much. Oh. You should be. It's a core thing. You should be moving your body and everything, and not just using your arms. I'm like, well, that would make a huge difference.
That would make a huge difference.
The same
workout
kind of thing
would change.
In a bra.
Yeah, doing it the right way. So, you and I told you I wanted to tell you a story. Are we there yet? Do you have an agenda?
Well, should we talk about the story first, or should we talk to Melanie first and then bring in the story? Because I think it's kind of a nightmare. So okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the story. She just said, remind me to tell the story that's super gross.
It's more gross
than
it is anything else. It's more gross.
Do you want to set the tone? Tell us the story.
I'm going to tell you something gross because I keep forgetting to say it. The last two episodes, I've just completely forgotten. It's because I'm old. All of a sudden, I look at you and go, I want to tell her something that's disgusting.
What is it?
Okay. We were in Mexico at this really cool resort. Everything was all inclusive. We went to this hibachi restaurant. My son was all digging the hibachi stuff. Guy was flipping food in his mouth. We were having a great time. There was this really, really loud couple. Really. Talking to everybody across the restaurant.
Or just assholes?
No, this was personality. This was all their own little cult of
personality. They were Americans, right?
Yo, yeah, of course.
Oh, of course.
Yes, they were. Yeah. And they were entertaining. Cussed up a storm, which, you know, whatever. And they kept apologizing because Lively was there. I was like, okay, but 2 hours into it, you could probably figure out that he's 10. Anyway. Not that big a deal because he goes, I've heard it before from her friend Lisa.
Exactly. Miss Lisa swears all the time, so don't worry about
You're tame. But no, after the dinner was over, she pulled out a flosser.
She flossed at the table?
No.
Didn't we talk about this a while back?
At the table. Yeah. At the table. And she didn't just do it like, I have one thing and I'm going to be really discreet.
Right. No, she was like,
No, she was flicking it. The hibachi thing.
First
and I was
of all,
like,
oh, well, it's additional cooking, I guess.
See, it was disgusting. And they, of course, the people
like,
in the restaurant.
Let me try what the chef's doing.
Except I'm going to give it back. There's a little shrimp for you. So, and instead of.
This sounds like a scene out of Deuce Bigelow or something.
It was horrific. And the staff was fantastic. They were like, okay, you guys are done. Dessert's in the other room. And shuffled us off really, really fast. You know, all like 10 of us or 12, okay, whatever it was. So it was gross.
First of all, I...
And they, she had, like, jewelry and shit. And, you know, she was obviously richer than anybody else
Well,
the
then
table.
They can do whatever they want.
And I'm like, yeah, buy yourself some fucking manners. My God!
Blue light special in manners, all yeah. three. Okay, first of all... Some yeah. people are a little obsessive about their oral health. Yeah. I'm like, I don't need to floss right as I leave the restaurant. I can wait till I get home. But even if you're going to do that, go to the fucking bathroom.
Right. I mean, that's to me, that's just kind of like blowing your nose at the table and right. throwing the tissue on the hibachi grill. Well, just burn
oh,
that shit
off. Why bother with a tissue?
I mean, just
seal and, yeah.
Let me sneeze in your face. Like,
see what I mean? It was nasty. And I was like, ooh.
So I don't know why dinner. Americans get the ugly American label. So I'm.
I don't know what that was about. Lyrie was completely disgusted. And he keeps bringing it up.
That's why.
He keeps bringing it up. He's like, well, at least I didn't floss at the table. I'm like, yes, but you can't fart at the table either.
Right. That's not the threshold.
The bar. No. If the bar is that low, it's quite easy to be a saint.
Absolutely. But, you know. Yeah, there you go. I've been dying to tell you about that.
That's gross. Mm-hmm. That's definitely gross.
Thanks.
So Marshall is in Germany right now.
Yeah, Deutschland. Mm-hmm.
And he texts me. It's a 6-hour difference, right? So it's like dinner time and he's texting me and it's 2:00 in the afternoon here.
And having so he's like, schnitzel.
He's like, I just like told these women at another table that they were obnoxious. And I'm sure he didn't say it in that way. But he's like, and then a little later I get a text from him. It's like, no wonder people hate Americans. I'm like, I know. So they are in Germany.
Uh-huh.
Don't speak German.
Uh-huh.
Are trying to special order food, asking for light beer and special ordering, like, I want my Wiener Schnitzel without schnitzel, you know?
I just want the wiener.
Like, you can't right? speak the language and now you're trying to special order and you're asking for light beer in Germany. Like, just drink the freaking beer that they have.
Wait, what kind of beer in Germany is light? Kind of light?
I mean light, like less alcohol content.
Oh.
See, I was thinking they want a Pilsner as opposed
right,
to a stout?
Right. No, no, they're not like, we would like a, you know, a wheat beer versus a Bock.
You know?
But, you know, like, no, it was like, we're looking for...
Less alcohol. We want
craft
a drink
beer tasting
more.
Beer.
We want.
I would
we
like a
Miller Lite,
right.
please. Yeah.
Right.
I like that we both went to
Miller Lite.
The most disgusting. Good.
I would rather drink Black Label.
Yes, and then
Black Label's all right.
I know. I would rather drink that than Miller Lite.
My dad, who let's just say drank for cheapness and volume rather than taste. He was a big, not Natural Light, but
there's MGD, which is actually pretty good.
No, that was too expensive.
The Germans drank the MGD when we were there. Did you go out to pee, or what did you just do? Are you okay?
What's he doing?
I'm not sure what he's doing.
Okay. No, he drank.
Or, I mean, if you're going to drink American beer, Falling Down beer, which is a sponsor, would be a delightful.
Oh, that's what you
one.
Ran out for,
Thank
Falling
you.
Down. And actually.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
And we can tell.
That's one of the things I wanted to talk
Podcast
about.
Podcast Detroit.
That on.
We
Falling
did
Down beer was going to be somewhere. There's a beer event happening that Koonin's and Falling Down and a bunch of other places are going. But
sweet. That's good. Well, we can
anyway.
Keep
we'll get to
it,
that. So yes, Falling Down beer would be a good one to drink rather than whatever the shit my dad drank was, which was whatever was the cheapest 24-pack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever he could
Bush,
get the case.
Old Milwaukee.
Oh, it was Bush for a while, and then it was something even worse.
Old Milwaukee.
Never Old Milwaukee.
Coors Light. We're never going to get sponsored again.
Beer is never
the bra shop.
No. Well, no.
But you know what beer is good for when talking about boobs? Bringing in breast milk. So if
I was
going
to say, I did hear you heard that in Germany,
that's
right?
Why
yeah.
They were like, used to give people Guinness.
Yeah. Well, they used to give us non-alcoholic beer to get the all the good
breast milk flowing.
To get the breast milk flowing. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That would.
I'm
be
sure
a
there's
thing.
A fetish of someone's around there that you just helped out with. I don't know.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah,
I can talk about feet too.
Oh, don't please.
No, and speaking of fetishes,
Are you going to talk about what you told me this morning?
We need to, at some point, talk about, yeah, there's going to be a podcast where we're going to talk about the nasty-ass phone calls that we get at the bra shop other day.
Maybe we should act
answer the
out.
Phone. It's hysterical. So there's, you know, people who answer the phone, it's always a different person. We have about 10 employees. So sometimes I'll look at them and I can tell they just got this one guy that calls and asks us to put on plastic gloves. It's crazy. Okay, here. I can do
action face.
Yeah, let me do it because you've never heard this one. I didn't prep you on this one.
Am I going to answer the phone?
Yeah, answer the phone. Be Busted Bra Shop.
Ding-a-ding-a-ding. Yep. Busted Bra Shop. Can I help you?
Yes. I've had surgery and I need to make a private appointment. Do you do private appointments?
Yes, we do.
Awesome. Could you, I'm really private, so I need it just to be you, and I need you to wear plastic gloves and a mask. Can you do that for me? Can you do that? Sure. Then just say, you have to provide the stuff. You provide the stuff.
You provide the gloves and mask, and we'll.
Okay, but it can only be you. I really need privacy. Can we do it after hours? Mm. And at that point, I'm like, kiss my
ass.
Are
you a serial killer?
No. Right. I'm like, look, dude, I do whatever you want. You can come in during business hours. Bring your plastic gloves. When was your surgery? 6 years ago. Fuck you.
And I'll need to put down plastic sheeting.
Right. Because... And I'll have a chainsaw with me. Is that okay?
Do you have 220? Because it's a thing.
Right.
So, yeah, we get that phone call about once every 3 months. And then I'll have to go, hey, Joe, because I call him Joe. Hey, Joe, you and I talked about this like 3 months ago. Oh, well, I'll call your competition. Let me get you their number.
Right. Here, let me help you out because I listen to murder podcasts and I know how this could end.
Yeah.
That's a good segue.
Thank you.
To our guest.
Awesome. Hello, guest.
Hi.
So our guest today is Melanie Brooks from Earth and Wood Studios.
And we've met Melanie before.
I've met her twice.
I've met her
once. I met her at a of all places, a Super Bowl party.
That was very strange.
And we were like, okay, so this is cool. I mean, like, I watch football, but I don't give a shit about the Super Bowl. So
I only do it for the sausage balls.
Because I make sausage balls for the Super Bowl.
Just do it for the sausage.
I mean,
the sausage balls. Not just the sausage or the balls, but the sausage balls.
Hey, I make really, really good sausage balls.
So, you don't have to wait for the Super Bowl to do that. So I met Melanie at a Super Bowl party, and then she invited us to, I don't remember the name of the convention.
Astronomicon.
That would be the one. Mm-hmm. And it was our the first convention for both Lee and I.
And Lively,
her son, who had a great time video gaming. And we learned that Lee sucks at Tetris.
Oh.
Really, really badly.
How is it possible to suck at Tetris?
You don't want the treatment. It was an art form, how badly she sucked at Tetris.
Oh, okay, great.
But
I'm going to beat your ass at Tetris.
So that was fun, but now and Melanie had a booth there, and she has some really cool, fun artwork that is what she's here to talk about, and she's going to be at another convention. So I Googled it, and I was like, holy shit, this convention, like, there are some big-name people there.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about – first of all, tell us about your artwork.
Okay. Well, I'm an illustrator. I've been a self-employed artist for, like, 15 years, and I started in clay, and I did that for many years, but I kind of got burned out on that. And so the last few years I've been trying to focus on something else, and I started illustrating. And it's allowed me to explore a lot of topics and, you know, imagery that I'm excited about. And I like all things geeky, and finding my particular geek and fandom is I found that horror is my particular fandom. So
I always have a hard time saying horror and not sounding like I'm saying whore.
Yeah.
I can't say that word very well.
So there, you do have a 10-year-old fan who now has at least one of your stickers on his bed.
Oh,
we have a wooden
nice.
Bed that was my husband's bed when he was a kid. We call it Big Bed. I don't know why. And they painted
it. Not that big.
It's not that big. It's actually just a twin bed. But it's plywood that was painted bright orange.
Oh.
So I think because of the color, he started putting stickers all over it. And the stickers are, so there's stickers that Patrick is 45 years old. He's been putting them on since he was like six.
Oh, wow. I had a college refrigerator like that, so it was all stickers I got from like the World Wildlife Fund and whatever. Just
don't you wish you had that too? So Pat Lively has now been putting stickers on. So one of them is your Wanderlust sticker with the space ship on it. That would be a rocket. And but his favorite thing of yours was that I took a picture of one of your tiles that's a bomb with an F on it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, nice. I know what that is. It's an F bomb. So he likes to take that picture and manipulate it and change it and stuff. The other thing that he saw, and I think it was at your booth, it said, don't be a dick.
Yep.
Was that yours?
Mm-hmm.
That's his mantra.
Yeah, it's a good mantra.
Yeah, yeah. Every once in a while he'll do something. I'm like, do you remember your mantra? And he's like, don't be a dick. Oh, am I being a dick? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of are.
There you go. I have made a lot of things with that saying on it, and people just really love it. It's, I think it's a good, you know, good words to live by. And
it's perfect.
It's got that geek reference to Will Wheaton, so, you know.
Love Will Wheaton. He's adorable.
Stand by me.
I love that movie.
I like that you go to Stand By Me.
I mean, I love him in The Next Generation, too, but I stand
by
him.
He doesn't.
I knew
him. You think it was the outfit?
Right. I had a crush on him in The Next Generation.
I think it's just he hates Wesley just as much as pretty much everyone else.
Wesley Crusher. Yeah. Unless you were a girl watching The Next Generation and you were in your
then you were like, wow, that's a tight outfit.
He's dreamy.
Yeah.
Hi, Wesley.
He's a little bit whiny, though.
Yeah. I didn't notice that then, and I don't really go back and watch it now.
I don't go back and
you know
watch
what?
It anymore.
If you want to, he has a blog, or on his blog, he used to actually go through his episodes, and he would have great riffs on the episode, followed by anecdote.
That's fun.
There's some fun
that
stuff.
That sounds like a party to watch one of those and
like a Mystery Science Theater. Like
with
Will
Wheaton. Pretty much.
So your stuff is, it's really like cute, but in the horror genre. So it's not like fangs dripping with blood, scary stuff.
Like
cute,
I like to combine the two.
Kitten vampires.
Right. Yeah. Like a creepy, cute kind of aesthetic. I think it's really funny, you know, when you have something really adorable with like big shiny eyes, but it's doing
but it's
something.
Cthulhu.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's going to chop your head off.
Right. Or I got, for my sister who doesn't watch this, and if she does, then she's going to be not surprised on her birthday. I got her.
It's not the vagina necklace.
This is from my mother. Now I'm creeped out. So, you did a couple of, I'm not much of a horror person, but my sister loves Stephen King, and she's read like every single Stephen King novel, and you have Pennywise the Clown, kittens.
Yeah.
Oh, you brought some.
Yeah, I brought some.
Okay, can you bring these up?
I can.
Aren't they adorable? They're adorable and freaky.
Yeah. So I mean, I think
it's like a cat. They're like adorable, and then they're like, "You're going to kill me while I'm sleeping."
Right.
Cats are adorable,
but they'll kill you while you're sleeping.
No, they won't.
Curry. Here's Sasuke. Curry and Sasuke.
Did you see how he moved it around? Yeah. Somebody out there was like, whoa.
So, I mean, those were the two I started in this series of horror cats that I'm doing. So,
now, is that the guy from Clockwork Orange?
This is Alex from Clockwork Orange. And he's perfect. He's got a little glass of milk.
And it is indeed a horror show.
His eyes are huge. Oh, my gosh, Pinhead.
That scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah, he was freaky.
I was doing too many drugs.
Oh, my gosh, is this...
And there's Hannibal.
Yeah, I was going to say.
All of his bondage.
We should get her to do some butterflies and bondage ones. I wrote a book called...
Short story.
A book. Oh. No, wrong.
It's a really short book.
It's a really short...
One page.
Four pages?
Yeah, four pages.
So we should... I hope SP is watching this one.
I have such bowls of wool to show you.
Stop!
Don't stop
doing
that! I'm gonna throw up.
Oh. I think my mom kind of got me into horror. She's a huge Stephen King fan, and she's read all the books. She owns all the books. She's got some signed and some special editions. And I've not been much of a reader over the years. I'm working on it now, but I've always liked the Stephen King, the movies, and his particular brand of horror, which is, you know.
He's funny.
He is funny.
I lived in Maine near his house at the time.
Oh, neat.
When I was when I was in the Navy. And we had the opportunity to go to his house at Halloween.
Oh.
And so I'm in the car ready to go, and my roommate's like, just give me 30 more minutes. And we missed it.
Oh, no.
I know. Love you, but I'm still pissed about that night.
Yeah,
that
would be.
But we missed.
Yeah, Stephen King. See my sister's like, you're not getting ready. No, we're going.
It was his last night, or I'm going without you. No, there was a guy. We had a cafe years ago called Cafe Detroit. Some people know it. Some people don't. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't exist anymore. But there was a barista there.
Oh, it matters because we all met a lot of people through there.
But Dan played the bass in the Meat Men. Remember Dan with the big mutton chops?
I do not.
Really, really cute.
I kind of remember mutton chops.
So he was in this crazy band called the Meat Men. So he was driving around Maine one time, stopped at a gas station. Stephen King was there. He's like freaking out. Stephen King. Stephen King starts freaking out.
Whoa.
So he's like, can I take a picture with you? Total reversal.
That's funny.
Right? He's like, yes.
Okay. He's also quite funny on Twitter.
Yeah?
Oh.
Yeah. So if you are on Twitter.
I am.
Well, you're on Twitter, but you're not, I don't think you're really on Twitter.
I'm not really active. Yeah. It just sends to Twitter.
Yeah. So if you get on Twitter, though, and follow Stephen King,
he
has some
Stephen
quite
King.
Interesting things to say. You can also follow Will Wheaton.
Oh, yeah. You can.
Look at you. You're blushing. You like Willie.
Yeah.
Can make him wear spandex.
And he's quite funny on Big Bang Theory, making fun of himself.
He is very funny on Big Bang Theory.
So you got into – how did you get into illustrating? We were just like – was it a high school, I love art kind of thing?
I've always been making things. I've always been drawing or – doing, you know, I did clay for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. I have a few of your clay pieces.
Ooh.
One of them is for my best friend, and it's still in the car.
Oh, no.
I haven't seen her yet.
But so I would incorporate some of my drawing into my clay, either as I would do a drawing and then make a rubber stamp of it that I could press into the clay, or I would do a decal that, you know, is put onto the ceramic and then fired with my imagery, or I was doing some painting right onto ceramics for a while. And I think that's what started me down the illustration path, you know, because I was actually just drawing right on the clay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. And, you know, it's nice to have a functional thing like a mug or a plate, but ceramics has, you know, issues sometimes, and you get breakage, and you get, you know, it can be a very frustrating material to work with. And if you're clumsy like me, and
I have
drop things.
No, I don't understand that
Nick,
at all.
You don't work with clay.
Yeah.
Oh, funny thing is, I do work with clay.
Really?
So, I mean, I finally just got real tired of it, and like, well, why do I have to do it
you
in
don't
clay?
Actually have to do the clay because you already have the
just
drawing.
Just do it on paper.
So do you, as an illustrator, do you like illustrate children's books? Do you do a comic book? Like, what are you?
No, I'm mostly doing, I'm selling prints and stickers and things. So I'm still, I feel like, sort of new to it. But I do like to work in a series, like the Horror Cats. And then I recently just did a sketchbook project that was cryptozoology based.
Oh,
nice.
Fun.
Yeah.
The necklace that you're wearing, that's your design too,
right? Yeah.
So speaking of cryptozoology.
Actually, I think I have that one in the car.
Oh, it's a moth?
It's a death moth.
A death moth with a skull.
Yeah, a little bit of a reference to Silence of the Lambs, you know.
Uh-huh.
So the cryptozoology series is probably the closest that I've come to a book because it's, I don't know, like 16 fully illustrated, you know, and I did a lot of research on the cryptids, and I got really excited about it. And my next step is to write a little something about it.
So you have a chupacabra somewhere?
Oh, I do.
I love the chupacabra.
I know, right?
That's interesting.
I just love to say
a friend of
chupacabra.
Mine, his daughter's just in, she's like nine, and like she's on a big cryptozoology kick right now. So
it's trending right now because I took some of my pieces to I did a horror convention, a big one in Cincinnati called Horror Hound. And I put up my cryptids, and I just thought, you know, maybe people would be interested in like the main ones, you know, like your chupacabra,
the ones that everybody knows,
Mothman,
Sasquatch,
and that. But like, people bought them and they like really responded well to them, even the rarer ones. And
what's the rarest one that you have? That's
I want to hear about a cryptid that I don't know about.
There's one called the Fresno Nightcrawler. Where
is it a worm?
No, it sounds like a worm. It may sometimes be called the Night Walker, but there's just these like really short clips of this video from Fresno, California, of this creature thing walking down a hill or a plane, and it just looks like a big pair of white billowy pants. There's like
sounds like somebody's kind of created a creepypasta about it, that.
It's very possible.
There is a building in Germany. God, I've got the picture somewhere. And it looks like a pair of giant white pants. Oh. And they call it Unterhosen because it looks like underpants. Unterhosen. So you go to Unterhosen and you can climb up in the pants. And then you go on this long hike. It's a destination. Anyway, sorry. Giant
that's
white pants
funny.
That you can climb into.
So, I mean, of course, because I have this penchant for cute things, I've made all of these like very scary creatures like that you would
look super cute
not want to run into at night, you know. But I've made got giant eyes, and they just look like
it's funny.
You
give anything giant eyes, and it's it's a puppy or right. A baby, right? And so it's pretty much
the visual clue. That's why babies are cute.
Yeah, exactly. The far apart big eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, so it seeks, it walks Fresno, possibly looking for someone to put them on, maybe.
I don't know.
White pants need to come back.
Exactly. I wonder what happens if you
or
happen
if it's
to
your
put
white
the
pants that you can't wear before Labor Day, which is wrong. It's shoes, right. Damn it.
So I do want to talk, well, and basically now wear whatever the fuck you want whenever you want to.
Yeah,
okay. That is my fashion. Of course, I am not a fashionista, though I do have something to talk about when we get to the stuff going on section.
I was like, we have a fashion section? When did that happen?
An ish fashion, something coming up fashion related.
Okay.
So I was saying I'm not really that into horror, and I don't, so I remember reading Pet Sematary when I was probably a little too young, but I was babysitting my cousin, so I wasn't that young. And I remember like reading it and throwing it across the room. And I was an avid reader, but I was like so freaked out at whatever section, and I'm a huge animal lover, so maybe the whole idea of like doing that and then coming up with
probably. I mean, I terrifying, did that with Cujo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, oh, it's a great story about a dog.
Yeah, not so much. Yeah, well, I had my mom read Where the Red Fern Grows, which was not horror, but I came home to her one night, and she was not much of a reader. She had eye issues growing up, but she was sitting in her rocking chair in the middle of the night, bawling her eyes out, and she looked at me when I came in, and she's like, I'm never listening to you your reading recommendations again.
I'm actually, speaking of Pet Sematary, I'm very excited because Audible has just released the audiobook of it, narrated by Michael C. Hall, who's Dexter from.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm very excited about that because I think he's that'll
do
just
you know
put
Dexter?
Me in.
Yeah,
in
the I know. I've
great
seen
mindset.
The, I've seen the trailers. I've seen his picture. He's really cute. So, but do not want to see
there's,
it.
That's actually a series of books that the series is based on. So you can read Dexter.
No.
I didn't find it that scary.
Like
the books were not that
too
scary.
Like,
no, but
I have nightmares from the podcast of my favorite part.
I can't believe it's not murder.
I called her the other day. I was like, I can't believe it's not murder. Just completely freaked me out. She's like, no, that's
I'm like,
it's not
so that sounds like a new podcast where murders don't happen. And you're like, I can't believe nobody died here.
or it's actually podcast. Just a freak accident. Right. But it's like, this person was accused.
Like, well, was it a murder?
Like,
really?
Do you guys know the staircase?
Mm-hmm.
So there's the owl theory with the staircase.
Yeah.
Like the Michael Peterson, who is an author, was
for
accused
those
of killing
who do
his
not
wife.
Know this.
Yeah. So he's accused of killing his wife. And there's all kinds of stuff that goes, somebody in Germany he was with died in a similar way years before,
very
blah,
strange.
Blah, blah. But there is a theory that an owl flew in the house and attacked her, and she fell down the stairs because of that. And apparently there's quite a bit of
evidence
support for the owl theory, including one of the crime podcasts I listen to. One of the hosts there is like, I'm on board with the owl theory.
So actually, you would have that murder kind of thing. People who are just really, really unlucky. Kind of like Ted Hughes. Ted Hughes manages to like drive like two wives to basically off themselves.
Who's Ted Hughes?
Ted Hughes was a poet who was married to Sylvia Plath.
Oh, yeah. Stuck her head in the oven. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she stuck her head in the oven. Well, fun thing, his next wife also did the
so perhaps he was an asshole?
He kind of he was, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Love,
great poet. Great poet.
Yeah, all my
human being.
All my wives terrible keep human dying. I don't get it.
I don't get it. I just go and sleep with someone very flagrantly while I'm married to them.
And the time period for women was not great either. Exactly. So, you know, there was a lot of suicide and accidental overdoses.
Yeah.
But so I listened to a couple of podcasts. There are kind of the creepy, weird horror, like Tannis.
Are you a podcast listener? Yeah.
So the Black Tapes and Tannis are both great. And so Tannis, I haven't started listening to the next season, but it's this creepy, the Pacific Northwest, you know, all of the serial killers come from there. It's all kinds of creepy. So it's kind of set in. Something's going on in the Pacific Northwest, and they're trying to put it together.
Right. I mean, that's the reason why Twin Peaks is set where it is.
Yeah. Exactly.
But they hit on, like, every sort of conspiracy theory.
Right, and they tie
story.
It all together.
It's very strange.
Like, you're like, oh, so then they, like, get back to the 1300s and some conspiracy of what was going on then and how it ties into this secret cult. And it's an interesting listen. Which would not be inappropriate for Lively in terms of the content, but given his view on Stranger Things, it might be a little too scary.
No, and I think he takes after me with the active imagination.
Sure.
So he's been reading, and I'm going to completely butcher this name because I do that all the time, Mrs. Pengreve's.
I was with him Saturday night, I'm like, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
That's the one. That's the book.
It's
See?
A great book
I just
series.
Say the stupid shit around her and she fixes
I'm
it.
I'm a huge YA young adult a book fan because you can read them very quickly. Mm-hmm. And that was a great series that my nieces and I read. And then the movie came out and my nieces were like, yeah, don't watch it.
Well, he won't read that at night. He reads Artemis Fowl at night. And then he
More
reads her during the day. He's like, so will I be going to the store with you today? Then I can read this book.
I can read it during the day, not when it gets dark and I have active dreams.
Right.
So back to you, though. There is a big convention. Make this all about us. Yeah. So there's a convention coming up at the end of the month that you are going to be at. If anybody wants to buy your stuff, they can also go to your Etsy store, but why not go to this convention?
Come to the convention. It's the Motor City Nightmares.
Where is it?
It is in Novi at the Novi Sheraton. And it's the April.
They call it the Motor City.
Well, it's the region.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's moved around. This is the 10th anniversary of it. So this is actually my first year at the regular show as a vendor. They had a small holiday show. You know, last season, and I did that, and so I'm kind of relatively new to horror conventions, and I started doing the one in Cincinnati I was talking about, and I just love it. I love the fans. There's cosplay.
Yes, we were really intrigued by the people who were in various gear at the Oh my God, why can't I ask?
Astronomicon.
Okay. I wanted to say Astronomicon. And then I'm like, Necronomicon? That's a book.
Yeah.
Astronomicon. Astronomicon. And
it's a little bit different flavor of cosplay than you find at
like
Comic Cons. Because it's, you know, you've got your Freddy and your a lot of zombies. And,
oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there were a few. But one of the things that
Freddy
I suggested to Lee was
Freddy
maybe
Kruger,
you should
sorry,
get some corsets and things like that and sell them.
Yeah, possibly. Speaking of cosplay and stuff, my niece has actually just started doing horror makeup. She's 13 and is about to get her first credit in a movie.
Oh, so that's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Like,
that
is really cool.
There's some great like Instagrams of people who do horror makeup. And
it's really,
really
and like an art. I mean, especially the I sew. Lee says I'm a seamstress. I am not. I follow the lines, you know. It's a coloring book. I just follow whatever the pattern tells me.
She's good at
But as long as I have something to do, I think a real seamstress will look at something and say, oh, yeah, I can put that together and, you know, design. I know what your design is and I'll make it work. But to see some of the costumes that the participants in cosplay put together is just amazing. It's like, that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other makeup, it's just like, wow.
It's really impressive, yeah.
Contouring, I don't know how to do that.
You don't need it. Look at you. You have vision.
That's why I love to do this podcast. It's my weekly jolt of, it's my weekly upper self-esteem, my self-esteem. So the convention, though, is at the Novi Sheraton, April 27th, 28th, and 29th, there's going to be a huge draw because the people who are going to be there, you know, the Astronomicon, they had Jason Mewes and your guy from Sons of Anarchy. This one, they probably have 10, like, really well-known people, including...
Opie. Was that there?
Barry Bostwick.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it, Janet. Barry Bostwick.
Yeah.
No!
Barry Bostwick. Yeah.
I'm going to be in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, well, you have fun with robotics. Linda Blair.
Linda Blair.
Linda Blair.
Oh, my God.
William Forsythe.
Take some pea soup with you.
I'm sure that's never happened to her before.
Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Wait. Malcolm McDowell.
Alex.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Okay. Also, Julian Bashir from Deep Space Nine's uncle.
Oh.
Did you know that? No.
I haven't seen Deep Space Nine in so long that I don't know any of the characters.
Oh, it's Alexander Siddick. Oh. Look him up, look at the faces, and despite the fact that, like, separate, you wouldn't know, if you know it, you can totally
see
it.
All I remember from Deep Space Nine is the cat.
The cat.
The cat guy? Was he Deep Space Nine or was he Voyager?
Cat guy.
The cat guy?
Yeah, he had, like, a kind of ears and...
Oh, the Ferengi?
Oh, maybe. Okay. Or maybe you're thinking Neelix? Was he a
Neelix.
Chef?
Oh, Neelix.
Okay,
Neelix.
That's Voyager.
I know Neelix.
So that was with Captain Janeway. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't remember anything from Deep Space Nine.
All right. Well, Alexander Siddick, you'll probably like when you see him. He's a very beautiful man.
Is anyone holding his Z?
He's very handsome.
He's a very beautiful
Very handsome. So, yeah, if you Google Motor City Nightmares, you will see the entire list of people and their headshots and everything. So, but I was like, seriously? Barry Bostwick?
Yes.
I'm very, very sad that I'm not
Rocky Horror Barry Bostwick?
Yeah.
But at the same time.
The dick. Absolutely.
Great. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, we can go.
And lots of scary stuff.
Yeah.
Two of us can go and we can do a little, you know.
Well, and Podcast Detroit's probably going to be there. I mean, they were at Astronomicon.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else was I going to say about this, though? Oh, so how many people do you think that will be this one?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, it's
a lot.
It seems like a lot of people.
Well, all of the tens of people that are listening to this.
The tens of our viewers will and listeners will make it out there. Well, I have to say, Astronomicon had quite a few people, even though the weather
was awful.
Shit. It took me an hour to get from my house to Sterling Heights, which should have been like a 40-minute drive.
Well, it's
in a four-wheel drive.
A lot of the horror fans and con fans are like real diehard, and so a lot of these are hosted at hotels, and if you're going, you get your hotel, you get there for the whole weekend, and
right,
so
you rent it, you have a Metallica concert,
we have your 10
you
friends
don't.
In the hotel room,
yeah,
right, exactly,
there's lots of parties,
exactly,
and you go and you attend the events and you do some shopping in the vendor area, and it's just like a whole weekend of horror fun.
Yeah,
so
do some shopping.
Do some shopping. Oh, do some shopping. I was in my own head. I was like, I wonder if I could dress like Peridot for a horror convention, or if that would be like out of bounds for the horror.
I mean, you could do zombie. Because
there's a lot of horror in wrestling.
Zombie Peridot.
A mashup is always fun. You zombify it.
You zombify everything, frankly. I mean, Marvel did. Marvel has like every character zombified.
Speaking of zombies, did you guys hear? I'm going to talk about something about which I know absolutely nothing except the headline. Have you heard about the zombie raccoons?
No.
Have you?
No.
If I could Google it, I would. So there, apparently, there is somewhere there is a whole bunch of raccoons who are basically like, they call them zombie raccoons. I'm pretty sure they're not undead, but they are like showing up on people's porches and stuff. And I'll have to find brains. They're like, please, sir, may I have a kibble that I can wash over and over and over again? My mom had a pet raccoon growing up.
My friend
Night
Kelly
of the Living Trash Pandas.
I love the trash panda.
My friend Kelly lived on the eastern shore in Alabama, right across from Mobile. off the bay. And we would go visit her, and her mother fed these raccoons. And she would take giant bags of dog food and – or I think it was dog food – and go down this sidewalk that was like a yellow brick road. And we would wait on the porch, the screened-in porch that had a cat door on it.
Oh, no.
For
so the rabid raccoon
these raccoons.
And there were around 50 little buggers, right?
Yeah, there was a ton. Right. And then one would come in through the cat door, and she was like, no, that one's a friendly one. It's my pet. And I'm like, mother of
Wait, I'm sorry. Don't they all look the same?
Yes. They're all, I mean. Yes, but they have little hands, right?
Yeah.
They would come in, and she would hand feed it. She was the best woman. She was the best woman. But yeah.
I'm really feeling like I want to take some of your ideas and make like a comic book of terrifying cats, like a Gotham kind of thing, but with a mashup of all of the various horror cats you have.
That's fun.
Well, what if you did the musical Cats as horror cats?
Oh. Opera Mono could do that.
Okay.
I loved it. It was much better than Cats. I want to see it again and again. The only thing I know about cats is Saturday Night Live skit.
I remember that.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
You're like the only one besides
this is
me.
Much better than cats.
Right? Yeah. And then every time.
I do enjoy that as you're talking about Saturday Night Live, you both have your voices pitched like Anna Gasteyer when you're doing
<That's> funny. Well, so the skit always cracked me up because it was this. Everybody was coming out of a hypnotism.
Uh-huh.
Show. And so everybody is interviewed and they're saying the exact same thing, which is, I loved it. It was much better than Cats. I want to see it again and again. Like in the like monotone voice.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was much better than Cats. I want to see it again and again.
You're killing me.
So beyond that, all I know is Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote Cats, and it seems like a really fucked up story to me.
He's written everything.
It's a T.S. Eliot. He didn't write Hamilton. And, you know.
He did not write Hamilton. That's one.
My niece is dying for Hamilton tickets, so if anybody gets
it's coming to Detroit.
And to the Wharton Center in East Lansing.
Yeah, it is.
Nice. And Fisher. I go to Fisher.
And it just opened in London, too, and I watched that. And
it's Chicago. Let's
not, I know. They were just
I'm
in Chicago.
Sure doing it in London.
She didn't realize it.
The cast is...
No.
They're all doing American accents because they're very clearly British. And
American
they're like,
accents. You had an American accent story?
British guy. You do.
I do?
Yes, you do. You talked about it.
Oh, so we are obsessed with American Gods.
Okay.
Oh,
yes.
Lovely. Okay.
So I was telling Lee because she was – so both Lee, who I got American Gods for Christmas on DVD, and my sister, I got it for her. She'd already seen it, but I'm like, this is awesome, and I would watch it over and over again. So she loaned it to her best friend, and she was – and her best friend, first of all, was texting her going – what the fuck am I watching? There's a huge-ass dick. What are you showing me?
Right?
So I'm like, oh, so she got to the gin episode, huh? And then she at the end, she's like, when is the next series coming out? Are you kidding me? So we just found out in like a month or two ago that they had changed showrunners and everything. And so
I'm skeptical that there's going to be
like,
another season.
So this morning, she's like, there's not going to be another season. I doubt it's going to happen. Oh, blah, blah, blah. We know that Gillian Anderson is not going to she hasn't signed on, so you know, media will be a different person if it shows up at all.
That's okay, because media can change.
Yeah, media can change.
Right, that works. I mean, she changed anyway, right? She was David Bowie.
I loved her as David Bowie.
Yeah, that was
my
great.
Favorite
one.
Well, I liked her as Lucille Ball, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I liked her most as Lucy, to be honest, but, you know.
So, so anyway, I was like, okay, I listened to an American Gods after show, and then you like find all this stuff where you're like, oh, I didn't catch that. I got to watch it again. So she, so Ricky Whittle plays Shadow Moon.
Shadow Moon. Do you know
you probably
Shadow
know
Moon
this.
Is?
I'm listening to him.
The
Shadow Moon's
one.
He's the one everything is happening to. he starts working for Mr. Wednesday. Dead wife is his dead wife.
Yep.
So, Hello, Ricky. You're a cutie. And then it turns out he's on this show, and I'm like, oh, so they're one, they are in filming right now. Two, Ricky Whittle is English.
Oh, yeah.
Now, He's pretty, and he has an accent like that. All right,
it's not delightful.
There's some great accents in America, but they are shite compared to that one. So, yeah, you have a nice accent.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, but hello. Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Again.
I'm a fan of the South African accent.
But he's, but in this, in the podcast that you're, not the podcast, but the after show, he's talking to the lady who eats people with her vagina.
Yes, I can't remember her name.
Billquist.
Yeah, but no, her.
Oh, I don't know the actress. I don't know the actress.
But yeah, Billquist. Yeah, so she's they're both talking to the audience. So the sound quality was horrible because it was like, you know, filmed at a con on somebody's phone or something probably. But yeah, so they were talking about the fact that they were talking about we're in the middle of filming right now, and then they were talking about like, okay, Neil Gaiman is working on this, so he's on set, and at first like you show up and you're like, I'm afraid to do anything because Neil Gaiman's right there.
Right.
But, you know, as Lisa's telling me, all I can think about is that actress is never getting laid again. Ever.
I don't know. There's a whole bunch of men that'd be all right with that.
If she eats you with her vagina and you stay there forever and she feeds off of your sexual energy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Not even.
Well, not for you, but there's a bunch of men that would love to die by snoo-snoo, so I think there's, you know. Speaking of accents, just a quick thing. If you have a chance and you want to see a movie, go check out
9 minutes.
The Death of Stalin.
Because, I heard that's great.
Because nobody does a Russian accent in it, but everyone does, like, kind of their real accent. Jason Isaacs doesn't, but like everyone does like some version of their real accent, and it's really effective because you're not having to deal with like someone going like, that doesn't sound genuine.
Right. That's not right.
So it's always funny to me when they do that, when they're like, okay, this is a, we're going to do yours. Everybody's in there is Russian, but they're speaking English because we're watching the movie in English and they use a Russian accent. But if they were speaking Russian, there wouldn't be an accent that.
But
so
then we wouldn't watch
well,
it.
Well, that we
then
would,
just
that
do
you
it
would
straight.
Be right, that you would just be able to pick up on. So actually, having them have their own accents conveys something that you miss when everyone is doing just talking like that. If everyone talks like that, they're not really using a Russian accent. But if everyone uses just various accents, that's actually the experience of hearing it in Russian. Because, like, a Georgian accent is not the same as an accent from someone who's actually Russian. Mm-hmm. They're all speaking Russian, but they all sound different. So when you have Jason Isaacs come in as Yuzov, who's, like, you know, the head of the Red Army, and he's talking like that because Yuzov was a big, vulgar man who walked around with, like, tons of medals just jangling on himself. Jason Isaacs does that, and then he says in interviews, and I'm wearing about two-thirds of the amount of medals that Yuzov wore because he had a big barrel chest, and that's the kind of character he was. So having him play it as, like, this northern dude is perfect, and it conveys it better for most people watching than had he, you know, tried to do like a big old Russian
thing. Gotcha.
And the funny thing about that is like they the advertisement is like you it went black, but I know we only have a few minutes left. Yeah. the advertising is like any similarities to current events is real. It's got the opposite of the disclaimer. So what's going on around town besides the Motor City Nightmares, which again is April 27th, 28th, and 29th. And if you go, you can find Melanie's booth, and she has a lot of very cool stuff. And now I want to go see all the cryptid stuff.
You want to go buy it all.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's super cute.
And I posted her Facebook page up on our Bras, Bitches, and Balls Facebook page.
Awesome.
So it's already linked.
And my niece, my 15-year-old niece, has the notebook with the F-bomb on it. So she thinks that's pretty cool. And they all loved their stickers. I got them as well. Okay. So April 21st and 22nd, I'll talk about this again next week, but this is the WIM Fashion, which is sponsored by the MEDC.
Uh-huh.
It is a fashion challenge. So rather than, you know, the tech challenges that are going around, this is a fashion challenge for Detroit designers. And because I can't get on the fucking internet here, I can't tell you any more about it this week. But I want to tell you that especially if you are in the fashion industry, a designer, anything like that, that you should check out WIM Fashion. You can also probably go to the Michigan Economic Development Corporation's webpage, because I keep getting emails from them about this. And I know there are some prizes relatively small this year, financial prizes, but hopefully it'll develop, because Detroit's getting, for the past few years, has had quite a growing fashion industry. And then for other people, there is the Comerica Women's Symposium that you're going to have a table at.
Yes, that you're probably going to be.
Yeah, I'll probably be at, because you'll be in Louisville. Uh-huh. So that's the same day of the first day of the Motor City Nightmares, but it's an all-day event. Is that Cobo? I think it's at Cobo.
No, right.
It's not at Cobo.
It's not at Cobo. It's at a casino.
Motor City?
Think so.
All right. Well, we'll figure that out. Sense. And it's later in the month, so we can actually talk about it with knowing what the actual details are rather than just making something up. But from like 8 to 5 on that Friday, the 27th, it's a Comerica Women's Symposium. There will be people with tables and stuff selling, vendors.
Yep.
But then it's an all day kind of.
It's still women. Three. It's like 8:30 to 3.
Yeah. Right. So you can do that and then go over to Novi.
Lovely. Two things for previous guests, kind of related to previous guests, at Matrix Theater this all the weekends this month.
That's Luna.
No, but I will be bringing that up. that's the other one. That's the other one that will be coming up. But our guest last week, Grace, her older sister, Claire, is in a play called Kayak at Matrix Theater that's running every weekend this week. It's about environmental things and falling out. And also at Slipstream, which is Luna.
That's Luna.
Yep. They are playing host to one of the weirdest bits of theater you'll ever see, which is called Too Much Light makes the Baby Go Blind. And that will be running most of the month as well. So
I don't know. I saw some pretty weird Operamoto stuff.
I will bring you to some Slipstream at some point. And we will see.
We love Operamoto.
And yes.
Cinderella's coming up soon.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that'll be fun. And then I know, and again, date I don't have, but I'm pretty sure that our prior guest, Karen Dibas, has got an event coming up, I think, at Pages.
Yes,
her book is now out, so you can buy it. It is in the wild, as they say. So, and we saw her chip book, which has been out for a long time.
Yeah. And it's Ace Hardware.
We're like, hey, that's Karen's potato chip book. But yeah, so Secrets of Detroit is now out, so you can buy that.
I tell you, if you want to get something fun for people who you want to bring to Detroit, or people that, you know, have, they are always like, what can I do this weekend? Throw that to them at a holiday so they can put it in their glove box. So when the kids are like, ooh, let's look at this, the things you can do in Detroit. Yeah. She's got some unusual places to go and see, and she's actually got pictures there, so you know you're at the right spot.
So, Melanie, where can we find your stuff if we can't make it to the convention and we want to buy or peruse your cute, scary artwork?
You can find my website at www.earthandwoodstudio.com.
Earthenwood.
Earthenwood.
Not earth and wood, which is what I was trying to type in. She's like, no, you're an idiot. Earthen.
Common error.
Earthenwoodstudio.com. And then you have an Etsy store, right?
Yeah, and they're all connected to my website.
Okay. So if you go to the website, if you click on something, it'll take you to the Etsy store where you can purchase.
And Facebook will have all that.
And Facebook,
if we all trust Facebook, which.
I'm very active on Instagram. I'm like, you know, trying to do
on IG. Are you?
I have an Instagram.
How extra? And I
look at you being all trendy.
Listen, I've been using as many on trend words as absolutely possible lately, and the people who work for me are like, "You're so dumb."
They're like, "You're so old. You're making that uncool."
Yeah. Like, see, this is what you sound like. They're like, "No, actually, we don't sound like you, dumb old lady."
Nick, who's coming on next week? You don't.
I want.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't trying to surprise you.
No. I believe. Oh, we have another writer And I am blanking. So I will fill that in later. We will post.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
Well, just let me know and I'll tweet it out too.
Okay, beautiful.
Tweet.
Beautiful.
And just so you guys know, Chicago store for Busted is coming up. It's doing great. We're going to be out of here in 10 seconds, Ellen. And we are building it. It's lots of fun. You can watch that Facebook page. I am trying to do something on May 3rd, which is a Thursday, which means May 2nd. I might not be
here.
I thought
it was going to be May 4th.
I know I was wrong about the date, but May 4th.
You just wanted to say
May
4th. That's all you wanted to do. That's all I wanted to do.
May the 4th be with you.
So the Thursday is May 3rd.
It is May 3rd. It doesn't come off as well at all. 3rd. May 3rd in Chicago. I will be doing something in the store there to kind of give a, hey, come see the
welcome to the neighborhood.
Stuff. Yeah, they right. do an yeah. evening event, the long Thursdays, the first Thursdays of the month. So that's what I want to do that, which could interfere with this podcast a bit, unless we figure out how to do something where I'm not here.
Mm-hmm.
Not that everything revolves around me, but, you know.
But everything revolves around you.
I pay for it.
So. Yeah, we've held down the fort a few times without you, so we can
we don't have to do this every week.
Mm-hmm.
Our tens of fans might tell us what they want and what they don't want.
Tell us what you want or don't want, people.
Yeah.
And no, she won't get naked on the Facebook Live.
I mean, I'm open to it, but, you know.
I could bring more Vomit Spot songs. But, Ellen, Vomit Spots, take us out. Peace, you guys. See you later.